Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, friends and neighbors. Welcome to the Midnight Garden with Mud Toe Sasquatch. It is Mud Toe Sasquatch, not that fake name that I put out on Facebook today. Just to put you off your comfortable path, or maybe just annoy you a bit. Because, I don't know, that makes me feel good about myself somehow, if I can annoy somebody. But anyway, it's me. And here in the garden, and midnight is the best time in the garden. I dated a girl once who told me that she danced naked in her garden at night. But I never got the opportunity to actually see that. But you meet all kinds, I guess. So anyway, here we are. No naked dancing here, at least not from me. You'll be relieved to learn, I'm sure. I keep pausing here. I'm trying to find the best way to hold my phone without disconnecting the call. We'll just start at the beginning. Last time I spoke to you, spent quite a bit of time flat on my back, unable to do much of anything. And this is a few hours after the show, because it shows you at midnight Eastern time. Drove home because I was not home yet. Did a couple things around the apartment. Went to bed. I had to be up the next morning at about 9 so I could get cleaned up and ready to go to work. But I woke up a little earlier than that with some back pain. I believe I complained about that last week, that I've been having some back spasms. I woke up with them last Saturday, and they were pretty bad. And the longer I was awake, the worse they got. And it drove me into kind of a panic because, you know, I obviously didn't want to miss work. Didn't like being in pain. Kept doing all the things that had, you know, worked before, helped, you know, to work out the spasms or work out the tightness in my back, and none of it worked. In fact, the pain just kept getting worse. And I ended up sitting on the floor of my apartment, sobbing, basically. And I'm quite sure it's one of those things. You know, I'm quite sure that it's not the worst physical pain anyone has ever endured. But it was, I'd have to say, pretty close to being the worst physical pain that I had ever endured. And I just didn't, it blocked out my rational thinking processes. I didn't know what to do. So let me interrupt myself here, because I just did something that annoys me when other people do it. So I have to own it. I'd said my rational thinking processes. No, it was my rational thinking that was disrupted, not my rational thinking processes. Just made it made it a little bit longer and more impressive than it was supposed to be. That was my rational thinking, was just not able to do it. And I ended up putting out a message on Facebook begging for help. And my brother saw it, and he called me on the phone. And I couldn't speak to him. I couldn't shape noises into recognizable words. And so he kept just asking me what I wanted him to do. You know, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do that? And finally, he said, do you want me to call 911? And I said, yes, I want you to call 911. So he did that. The problem being that my brother lives out of town, so he had to call 911 out of town, and then they had to call the 911 here who came to see me. Now, in the meantime, my daughter had intercepted this message. And this is what I mean about not thinking rationally. I mean, she lives in town, and in fact, has been to my apartment before. She could probably come and pick me up, but it doesn't occur to me to do that. But she saw my message and called Scott, my brother, and he gave her my address. She'd been to my apartment before, but she'd never driven here. And she got out here about the same time as the squad did, and she ended up driving me to the hospital because of the squad. There was nothing the squad could do for me. They were just going to be, you know, taxi servicing me to the emergency room. And that's the kind of thing that can get get kind of expensive, your insurance company not liking you very much. If you start taking rides to the hospital when they don't really, in the ambulance when they don't really have anything to do for you. Well, there also the police department showed up as well. You did the well-being check. Come on, and I'm just sitting here, I think I had made it up into a chair by that point. And, it doesn't get to look at me. You can't mean there's no blood coming out of me. There's no limb amputated or anything. I'm just kind of sitting there sobbing. What's going on? I don't know. So I got as my daughter was getting me into her car to take me to the emergency room, one of the policemen came over and gave me a lecture. And sometimes I feel that the police, and I love the police, they do things that I would never be able to do, and they I certainly don't want to piss any of them off because I may need them to come and save my ass for real someday. But this officer, I think sometimes we talk about the quotas, and I don't want to upset anybody, but I feel like perhaps this police officer had his lecture quota to meet, because he had to talk to me about how it was, all these people had to come over, and they really weren't even going to be doing anything for me, as my daughter's just going to be taking the apartment and this and that and the other thing. And my response was, I think the correctness of, look, I was panicked. I didn't know what to do. And we could have been, we've been doing other things. There's shootings and things that we have to work, clearly an attempt to make me feel bad. I do know that occasionally, I live on the bad side of town, and there are shootings from time to time. I know that someone I knew, I can't claim to have known her well, but she was a pre-op transsexual, and was shot in her apartment one night by some people who just evidently didn't like her. Someone who just didn't have... didn't have a bad thing to say about anybody, no ill will, nothing at all, no meanness in her, and basically snuffed out by people who couldn't accept who she was. So that happened. I know that down the street, about a block from us, there was a gentleman and his cohort who I guess completed a large dope deal. And to celebrate, one of the gentlemen pointed his gun at the other gentleman and forced him to strip in the middle of Broad Street and dance around, I guess. This evidently made a negative impression on him, because the dancing guy came back the next day, knocked on the gun pointing guy's door, and when he opened. When he opened up his door, the dancing guy shot him dead. So these things do happen. I say there are there are no shootings, but I do say that for a long time, I was an avid listener of the police band, radio, and when it was actually police band radio. Now you get it on the internet. One of the various things that's stream audio, but I listened to a lot of it and used to sort of revive that when I moved here, because if there was trouble coming, I wanted to know about it first. And I do not recall, all the time I was listening to the radio, I do not recall one report of shooting in my area. Now I know there had to, but I know of at least two that happened. But my point is, rather meandering point is, this police officer was representing himself as something that we got to go out and work all these shootings. Well, I'd be willing to bet hard cash that I don't have that there weren't any shootings for him to work that Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Pretty sure, I could be wrong, but and in fact, I bet even more hard cash that I don't have that there wasn't more than one shooting at that time, or at least I'll broaden that there weren't so many shootings that all of the available police officers were required to investigate. And I would say that I would say with a fair degree of certainty, with a high degree of certainty, that if the situation really was that bad, I think I would have been sitting in my apartment waiting my turn. And, you know, I have no problem with that. You know, if there really wasn't any way to shake these officers loose, I can't imagine the dispatch would send them on this call if, you know, there wasn't anybody available to take it. So I guess, you know, I'm just a little bit, I mean, I didn't say anything to the guy. I'm not stupid. But that someone would feel the need to do that when I'm clear. Perhaps he didn't believe that I was in pain. I mean, I was still in a lot of pain. It really hadn't gone away. And I rode my daughter took me to the emergency room, which is, this is another thing. The emergency room is only 2 blocks away from where I live. I mean, if I had been able to stand up, I could have walked. But I was not able to get to my feet. They had to help me to my feet when they got there, the policeman. But she took me in and checked me in. She just said, my daughter is very much a mama bear. And you know, she does this with her daughter, who has special needs, and she's very used to, you know, over the years, fighting to make sure that her daughter, my granddaughter, gets what she needs. So she kind of took that same attitude, you know, with helping me out, you know, and ran interference with the other various people you run into at the emergency room, called work for me to tell me, you know, I wouldn't be there. Just really took care of everything for me. I got there, the guy, somebody, we sat for a little while, and then somebody came and asked me a couple of questions, and then gave me some, you know, gave me a prescription for some pills and a shot, and they sent me home. So, I mean, like, and you know, the instruction is when you go to the ER, you're supposed to go to your own doctor as soon as you can to follow up. So I guess if anything had been horribly wrong, they would have been picked up at that sort of secondary stop. But they gave me a shot, and it worked real well. And so they wheeled me back out to my daughter's car, and she went with me to fill the prescription, and went to the grocery store and bought me some things that would be easy for me to prepare myself. And then we rearranged them, went back to my apartment, arranged them on the countertop so I would not have to reach for anything. I would not have to bend for anything. They're right there at you know, sort of chest to gut level. So all the things I needed were, we made sure that they were, you know, easily within reach. And then she was able to leave me, you know, about the time I toddled off to bed and, you know, slept for about 24 hours from this shot they gave me. But I mean, that's the takeaway is that it's something that's been happening for about close to 15 years, and it goes away for a while, and then it comes back. And when it comes back, you know, it's not something to mess around with. I need to slow things down. I need to be mindful of the sort of postures that set off the spasms. It's lower lumbar back spasms. And I got them from lifting weights and overdoing it some 15 years ago when I was, well, 13 years ago, so it was when I turned 40. And I was like, I can still, you know, I'm 40 years young, you know. And I went and I lifted these weights. And I, you know, my back started hurting. No, I'll tough it out. I'll lift through it. And then woke up the next morning and couldn't get out of bed. And that time was my father who had to take me to the emergency room. And it was the same girl at that point. You know, they gave me although they actually gave me an X-ray, but I think that's probably an insurance thing. They're cutting down on the number of X-rays they actually do. And my doctor didn't give me an X-ray, although I didn't actually see my doctor. I saw a nurse practitioner. But because their conclusion was that anything that, you know, might show up in an X-ray would have showed up in their sort of elementary examination that they did. There's one more, you know, I think I start to think I have everything under control. although I think I did talk about the back spasms last week on the show, if I'm not, and I was, it was bothering me at the time because I had worked, and then I went out to eat, and then was not able, I spent too much time eating, and I wasn't able to get back to my apartment in time to do the show, so I parked the car and did the show in the car, and all this time, I'm in a seated posture. And that's not good for my back. When I find when I'm having trouble with my back, I must not sit down. I have to get up and move around, and then help stretch things out. If I can't do that, lying down is better. Sometimes getting from the standing position to the lying down position is an adventure. But I need to do it because the more I push it, the worse it's going to get. It may go away that particular time, but the next time I get the spasms, it'll be worse. So that's what I'm doing, and this is my first day. Today was my first day back to work, and that was it. I mean, there's a lot. The problem at work is there's just a lot of bending and stooping. I gotta put shoes on the bottom, the bottom row, and when people, just drop the shoes they're trying on and walk away, where are they? They're on the floor, so I gotta pick them up and get them, and not to. Say you feel something's going on my back, and say no. I'll stay bent over long enough to get one more. I'll stay bent over long enough to pick up this hanger that somebody dropped. No. If it's if something's going stirring in there, I got to stand back up and walk around and wait for the muscles to loosen up. And I think I did that pretty well tonight, and was able to keep up with the work, although it wasn't terribly busy. So tomorrow will be more of a test because Saturday is usually a pretty busy day, and I'm going to be there for 8 hours. Now on the lighter side, management is buying our lunch tomorrow, so that will be good. But it'll be tomorrow will definitely be more of a test than today was. And it's just noticing my posture. And what postures to go to when I start, when I start feeling something going bad. And not being able to sit is that's a challenge. But I don't get to sit that much anyway during work. You're supposed to stay, supposed to keep hopping, and especially when it gets busy. But it's not Amazon when you can never sit down. Now it kind of is. I shouldn't sit down because it's going to cause me. Sitting is going to cause me a problem. And here's what was worse. And this could be TMI, so you might want to turn it down for the next 30 seconds or so. When I use the toilet, the toilet is kind of close to the ground. It's closer than an ordinary chair is to the ground. So I'm bending lower than I usually do, and then have to sit there until everything gets done. And then you stand back up, and that is—I can practically guarantee that when I use the toilet, and then when I get up, I'm going to have some sort of activity in my back. So, I mean, what do you do? I mean, I can't not use the toilet, and I don't really have a privy, so I can't squat. I don't know that squatting would really be any better. But I do need, again, I need to start noticing. What are the things I can do that can bring those back spasms under control the fastest? What are the things that I absolutely must not do? Because it's going to make everything, it's going to make things worse. So it's an interesting exercise and sort of an opportunity that I was, I knew what are my opportunities to use the body scan other than centering myself for meditation. Outside of that, where can you use the body scan? Well, I can use it now. Okay, what's going on in my body? Notice the things that are going on in my body, and and remember that for the next time. Sort of a big game of concentration where you put the two things together. Oh, I remember this. I remember the last time this happened, and when I did this, it got a lot worse. When I did this, it got better. So you remember to maximize those positive experiences and really have to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. And I can only go for a few seconds, otherwise they'll charge me with a copyright not evasion. That's not right. That's like exactly the opposite. What's the word for when you do your bad infringement? That's it. Copyright infringement. That came fairly quickly. So I'm happy I have been. Over time have been having trouble thinking of words. And it's karma. I'm sure it's karma because my mother has the same thing. And my brother and I used to tease her mercilessly, but she could not think of the word for something. I remember one time she was struggling with vacuum cleaner, and she was just, you know, had her hand out, you know, miming the activity. We're like, what? What do you want? What? And we knew what she wanted, but we were merciless to this woman who, you know, cooked our food, cleaned up after us. Now, you know, I'm getting it back. I don't know if my brother is yet or not, but I'm definitely getting that same thing where I'm just, I can't, what's that word? I know there's a word, I can picture it in my head, but I can't. And names are getting terrible for me too. Oh, and at just the time, you know, I'm trying to ramp up this, you know, job search to see if I can make one last push at getting the full-time job that I, you know, I can then hold for, you know, 10, maybe 11, 12 years until I get, maybe hook me up with Social Security when we get there. But yeah, just at that time, when I need to be remembering people's names and organizations' names, I'm often unable to do it. But I think this other activity is making me feel good, some sort of extended negotiation with my body, of taking feedback my body gives me and converting that into less pain. Today it worked, and if it continues to work, I'm going to get, well, I'll be proud of it. I'll give myself credit for today. Proud of myself for today. And tomorrow, if it's not quite as good, make corrections and move forward. Someday I'm going to see my folks, and that's going to feel like the last few have just been quick hitters. I've just been able to get there for a day because my management had been scheduled me for, you know, 5 or 6 days a week because the only amount of time I could actually get over there. Next week I'm going to be out at the hospital working, and then at the shoe store 4 days. So I get this again. So this Sunday is the only time I can really get there and see the folks. And I'm hoping here in the next weeks I can find a time where there's maybe 2 days in a row and I can stay a little longer. Of course, then we have interfering things coming up, and I got to make those choices. State fair coming up. If I can set aside a few bucks, I would love to go to that. I have been to our great state fair, I believe, twice in my life. First time when I was a kid, and I can remember, the thing I remember most clearly was there was this machine there that made a wax bust of Abraham Lincoln. And I was impressed by that because a friend of my mother's had not a wax, but a metal bust of Abraham Lincoln that she was very proud of. I was fascinated by it. I was going through a Lincoln period at that time. So they made this, you know, wax bust of Lincoln, and I took it home and kept it. I don't know how long you're actually supposed to keep something like that or how long it's supposed to last, but I preserved it for a number of years before, you know, it finally disintegrated. And that's, as I say, that's my major memory of being at the state fair until, you know, probably 40 years later when I went. Let's see, it would have to be more than 6 years now, is because it was when I was still working at the university. And I remember that because there was a fellow student there, a colleague, who I knew was from Texas. And I knew had been involved in, you know, what was the 4-H and other things like that, where she raised livestock for, you know, for the fair. And I was interested because I know, because you're raising these animals and you know they're going to be slaughtered. I think that's usually what happens at the state fair here. That's what happens. of you get to this level, and there is an auction, and very famously, the governor of the state participates as one of the auction assistants. The governor, I say he, well, I'll say he, they are all he's. You walked around, you know, he might walk right past you. You know, he's out there looking for where the bidders are. And, you know, they had the champion sheep and the reserve sheep, and they had champion chicken and reserve chicken, and champion hog and reserve hog, and champion steer and reserve steer. And they sold them, and the money went to their scholarship for the kids. And so, again, at this level, I know at this particular auction, I don't know where it is at other, how it is at other places. But the animal gets shipped off and is slaughtered and eaten. I know this because the auctioneer kept reminding us of it. the crowd, well, I mean, usually I'll say, the laughter was rather uncomfortable. So you're like, was that really funny? This will
taste good with some, with some barbecue sauce. You know, that kind of, it was a little wittier than that. But so then everybody kind of like, ha, 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 ha.
My feeling was, what is this? This kid worked with this. I saw a picture of a friend of mine. His daughter is showing at the fair. I believe it was a hog. And the picture was of her, in the stall with the hog, giving it a big hug. And in a few days, it's going to be off to the to feed the world. And how does she feel about that? And after all this buildup, I'm not really sure. I remember what the lady's answer was. That there was a disconnection. That you didn't allow yourself to think about what was going to happen to the animal. I never raised an animal, but I think from this vantage point, I think that the experience might be very similar to what I've just been talking about when you got to observe what circumstances bring positive responses and what circumstances bring negative responses and adjust your treatment. I'm not thinking emotionally, although that could be, but I mean, how does the hog eat? What does it eat? How do you feed it to get the results that you want? Because you may be going against the hog's instinct, which would be the results that the hog might want. Could be quite different from the ones that are wanted from the people who are going to. Gonna sell it for a little bit of for some ribs and chops and whatnot. That has been a while ago, and that was the last time I was the second and last time I was at the fair. And there were times I wanted to go, and were times when I was seeing ladies that maybe I was having a little bit of trouble with, and I was like, well, let's, why don't we spend the day at the fair. Then I no longer went to jail, so I didn't get to take her to the fair. It seems once I had that experience, that the fair experience has become problematic in some way. I just haven't been able to get back. I want to get back. What am I going to do? to see somebody who's a quasi retired rock star or something, or do I just eat deep fried Snickers? What do? I haven't got a story to tell, but I don't have time. I may have to save it for next week. It's about lemonade. Remind me, I have a story about lemonade at State Fair. But I was going to tell, but I don't have time. But I do thank you for joining me. I have to get to sleep right away because I've got to work in the morning. I'll report on the progress on my back. I have such a physical therapy, so I'll tell you all about that. And whatever else that happens in the next week, which will probably take us off on an entirely different direction. So thank you once again for joining me this evening, and have a pleasant good evening.